You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I don't feel like, Greg, you've known that we're on the air about 70% of the time today, right? That we've been on air. You seem especially discombobulated today.
On that point, yeah. I keep looking for like a green light or some sort of an overt signal that we are now live on the air.
Do you know we've been talking for a minute now that we've been on the air, and this has happened a number of different times,
right,
today where...
It's true. You need to be better about alerting everyone that the show is now officially starting. This is not between banter. This is not off-air stuff. We are actually doing show. That needs to be made more clear. That's something you should work on.
I think you need to work on shit.
Yeah, okay? Like having headphones on.
Like what?
You're asking for a green light. Just have a headphone on one ear and you're good.
I've been listening, but it sounded like between take.
No, you're not listening when you're asking aloud, are we on the air?
That's
when we
the annoying
are.
Part about all this is that there's nothing in you right now that feels like you've done anything wrong. You feel great about your performance. You're not taking anything Dan is saying and being like, you know what, I could be a little better. You're just like, what do you mean?
That
this is me.
I really did enjoy though that me 3 minutes into one of these sermons that has run off America that doesn't want to listen to sermonizing with their sports, quote unquote, radio, that Cody didn't know we were on. That Cody just said something. Am I on? I thought I muted myself in the middle of me doing it. And
I was trying to help you out there.
That was you trying to help.
I felt like you were, treading on shaky ground, and I wanted to throw you a little life preserver.
It was friendship. You got in there. Yeah.
Thank you. Bulimia.
Let's go, Bo.
Yes. This is a great story to welcome you back on, because we have missed talking to you, Bomani, on the stuff that has range and depth and comedy and can be hard to talk about. So thank you for making the time. The Right Time with Bomani Jones, the podcast you need to be checking out, because it's especially funny and smart, and there's nothing really like it in the podcast sports space. The stuff with Gruden, give me the most interesting things for you here all over the place, because there haven't been that many scandals that look like this one.
So I think at first I did not have a great handle on, like, so where did this come from, right? Like, who decided that they were going to put this out? Because I had thought that somebody must have gotten all of the emails, and this is the part that they had gotten to, right? Like, and there was going to be a slow thing, like, oh, now we get this story. No, we get this story. And then you get the big one at the end that talks about everything that's in the email file. except it went to the Wall Street Journal and like, yep, that sounds like the place the NFL would go if they wanted to get some word out. And so they slow leaked it. They're like, yeah, so we got DeVar Smith. You said he's got big lips. You sure you don't want to quit your job, John Gruden? Or more importantly, Raiders, you sure you don't want to fire him? And they're like, oh, no, we can weather the big lips. That's not that big a deal. All right, well, we're going to have you out here calling Roger Goodell the F word. Rut roll. Now we got a problem. And then John Gruden ultimately has to go. I just couldn't believe his explanation on the front one was so bad. Like I said on my podcast, you remember that time that Kevin Garnett allegedly called Charlie Villanueva a cancer patient? And Villanueva came on Twitter and was like, yo, Kevin Garnett called me a cancer patient. And the Kevin Garnett explanation was, no, I said he was a cancer to his team and our league. A totally different concept and idea. That was better than rubber lips.
That is, I mean, he did say the denial of I call everyone who lies rubber lips. How did they come up with that one? Like, what was that? Was that his entire team of agents and everyone saying this is the way you deny it? This is the way to make this controversy go away.
Oh, no. He came up with that all by himself. In fact, the best part about that for me is I don't recall anything in those emails where he said DeMar Smith was lying. He said that when I say people who are lying, I call them rubber lips. What was he saying that DeMar Smith was lying about? I never got any wind of that. Like, he just had to throw something together right fast and then seemed to throw out there, well, how about I let him know in advance that I said this about Roger Goodell? Maybe then I'll get to keep my $10 million a year. Nope. That didn't work. They dropped the hammer on him with that next one.
What do you think the conversations were like in the back rooms, Bo? And what do you think's coming up next? Because they were investigating one toxic workplace, and we don't know anything about that story. But over here, the collateral damage is the second most famous coach in the league.
Yeah, well, the question, I think, is who has the emails other than the NFL? Like, does anybody else have the file? Because if somebody else has the file, then it's open season, and there's no telling what in the world might be in there. If it's only the NFL, how much trust do we have about how thorough they're going to be in telling us what went on? Because I thought buried in that New York Times story was the idea that these cats were forwarding around topless photos of the cheerleaders. And remember the staggering allegations against that team as it dealt with the cheerleading squad. That right there, to me, like the tone and obviously the substance of what Gruden said was terrible. But in terms of function, that sending topless photos thing, that's the one that feels like somebody can go to jail for. Like, I don't know the rules exactly, but if I told you somebody went to jail for that, you wouldn't be surprised.
What are the elements of this story that caught your attention? And what I've been saying here, Bo, is when we feel betrayed on this stuff, and we never know these people in front of us on television, but when you see those emails, and I don't give you any context, I just say, read these emails. Where are they coming from? It's not someone who loves football or the people who play football. It's somebody who seems super angry. And I ask you this question. I've seen Keyshawn call John Gruden a fraud today, but has he been in disguise the whole time? Because he didn't have any of these opinions when we were asking for his opinions.
Yeah, that's one thing that Marcus Spears said this morning on Get Up, which I thought was a great point. John Gruden was on TV during the whole Kaepernick thing. I never once heard him say that Eric Reed should be fired or anybody else. I mean, I feel like somebody would have done a blog post about that, right? He didn't come out there and say that on TV. He said that to his homies. Now, Gruden has always been a beloved figure by media people since the late 90s, since he got that job with the Raiders, right? Like he's a bit telegenic. He's been a telegenic star in this league for that entire time, really. And so, yeah, I think it's easy for people to get fooled, but I don't even know if fooled is the right way to put it. Like, I don't think John Gruden was out here trying to convince us that he was a bastion of progressive thought. We just assumed it, right? Like, we make assumptions about people that they don't think these things, even though thinking these things isn't very far off from the median. Like, I think maybe the way to look at it is it's less about whether you think that someone would say these things versus assuming that they absolutely would not. And I would never do the latter. Never.
So what is happening there? Why are people doing that? Because I would do the former.
Because people want to believe in the goodness of white folks. Like, when it really comes down to it, that's what this is. We want to pretend as though racism, misogyny, you know, your various run-o-isms, we want to believe they're outlier opinions, when that's obviously and clearly not the case. They're not. And so I don't think that it does much for people's, like, really self-esteem about how they feel about being members of this society, to be honest about the fact that a lot more people than they want to admit are toward the midline of the spectrum of opinions that we have in the country. And so that's what I think it really comes down to. I don't think that you could look at the politics of this country at this point and then be so terribly surprised that somebody would speak in the way that Gruden did. You can be surprised that somebody would email it to his buddy on the company server. Hey, let me tell you this. It's a whole lot of people. Like, there's a couple of CEOs in that little group chat that they had on email. And let me tell you something. They got to be sitting here like, Bruce, you ain't got no Gmail address? I am stunned that not one person was like, hey, Bruce, why don't you use your personal email for this one instead of the work email? That's something you might want to consider. John Gruden wasn't participating in this on john.gruden@espn.com.
What do you think's going to happen in Washington, Bo? Because it is quite the mushroom scandal to be investigating toxic workplace in one place, and where you land is in an entirely different organization taking out a coach in a hugely embarrassing thing for the league and for its partners.
Well, the question with Washington is going to be, the people who say egregious things on email, how many of them even still work there? So Bruce Allen doesn't work there anymore. Like, I think that's part of why also they might be so willing to put this out there as they did, because it's the guy who doesn't work for the team anymore. I would think, I don't know how much turnover there's been, but there was an acknowledgement, you know, a year or two ago that, hey, man, we got to change some things around. And perhaps the people who say the worst things in that email are going to be employees who are actually no longer employees. The question for me is going to be the dragnet of this, right? How far out does it go? So Bruce Allen is the node that got us to John Gruden. There are other people who work at this organization who also have buddies who they might be sending emails to on the company server. If that is the case, who else gets caught up in the same way that John Gruden did? And what will it take for the NFL to make the call that they're like, hey, we've seen something here and we think this needs to be taken care of? Because I do think, hey, man, if the NFL standard is this dude got out here talking wild about the commissioner, I don't know how many people are going to check that box. But something along the lines of what he said about Damaris Smith, I bet there's a few of those that they're going to find while they're going through. This is just a matter of whether or not they want us to know it.
If Gruden hadn't resigned, what do you think is the play out on that? What do you think happens there?
Oh, no, he was going to, it was going to happen. There was no way around it. I thought that it was asking for a lot for him to be the guy, after the stuff he said about Smith, to be the guy to lead a locker room, which has a whole bunch of black dudes in it. It also just so happens that he is the head coach of the first openly gay player in the history of the NFL. And he said that the Rams should not have been pressured to draft. I don't know what I can actually say myself, but it was the Q word. You can't coach that team and coach that guy under those circumstances. Carl Nassib gets up in, you know, on a Zoom or on Instagram or whatever and slams John Gruden. At that point, John Gruden was going to have to go. Like, this was over at that moment.
But he probably didn't walk away from 60 or 70 million, right?
Like, no, I think he is. I would be curious to know what the settlement happens to be, if there is a settlement that they come up with this. But I have a hard time believing that the Raiders couldn't find a way to get out of this contract. I also don't think, for whatever it's worth, I think the Raiders were going to try to hold on this as long as they possibly could, because the Raiders, unlike any other franchise, including the Cowboys and the Jerry Jones era, the Raiders are defined by the owner more than anything else. Al Davis is the definition of the Raiders. Once Al Davis was dead, the Raiders didn't have an identity. And I've wondered if part of why Mark Davis leaned in on this 10-year contract with Gruden is to come up with a singular figure that would now become the identity of the franchise. They had a lot invested in that. They weren't going to walk away from that so easy, and they definitely weren't going to fire him if they hadn't figured out how they could get out from under the money. There's going to be a deal that's ultimately made, but John Gruden, after it came out that he said things, really the homophobic stuff, I think made it such that it was impossible for him to return.
Did it not strike you as weird that it would happen that way, that it would get leaked in, that he was going to keep his job? If it had just been the Damaris Smith stupidity, that wasn't going to even get a punishment, correct?
I don't know. I'm very curious about that. One thing I'm curious about also is, if with the investigation in Washington still ongoing, right, would they have felt comfortable doing something based on what they came across in the investigation before the whole thing got done? Like, I don't really understand the HR type mechanics behind something like that. Maybe that's what it is. And I don't know, again, if he actually, they said it was a parting of ways, right? So you assume that that means, John Gruden, you need to resign. We need to fire you. We'll come to something in the middle. If the public did not have the immediate response that it did to that second round of things, there's a whole lot of people went out there like, we can't judge the man on one thing. And then once it becomes two things, then people are like, oh, we can judge you on two, right? Hey, you ain't have to get to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We can judge you on two things. Then, yeah, I think he was going to wind up going. The question becomes, if this report that we saw came out first and then the Damaris Smith one came out, would Damaris Smith have been the tipping point, or would it have been so much in the this New York Times article that would have been the tipping point? I don't really have the answer for that, but I do believe that white people are much more able to be like, oh, well, you know, people get mad and then just say that one thing because, you know, a whole lot more white people than want to admit it will get mad and say something like that. But there are far fewer who would have boom, 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 you know, line after line after line, slur after slur after slur. There ain't too many who got
those. He took out, Bo, he took out everybody. It was even Native Americans in there. Like, it was only my people, Asians, Jews. He took out everybody else. He stayed away from Muslims as well. But he was going, that was an amazing array, Bo. We haven't seen a whole lot of that before.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. I just did something on CNN earlier today, and they talked about the breadth of the range of insults that he offered. And I could make a counter argument that it was broad, you could argue, but it was in a line with a fairly common line of thought. Like, that was a whole bushel of insults. Like, somebody who drops the insult on one, there's a good chance they drop the insult on the whole line, because that comes with that particular bushel of ignorance that you got there. Like, he checked the boxes that you checked to get into that club in the first place.
Hey, listening audience, it's Mike Ryan, and you're a sports fan if you're listening to this show. Well, that's up for debate. You may not know this, but Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, that's key, and their low price guarantee. Game Time takes a guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. I was actually in Baltimore last season, always wanted to check out that ballpark, and I actually went to the Game Time app to actually see exactly what I was dealing with, and on top of that, I got a killer deal. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Well, Monty, I'm curious what you make of the fact that Gruden did admit to the Goodell thing. It was reported as expletive to Chris Mortensen over the weekend. That story didn't really get traction. Then when the New York Times comes out with it and you see it in text, you actually see the expletive. Then everyone knows that it's just a matter of moments before John Gruden resigns. Yeah. But this story, that insult directed at Goodell in particular, was out there.
Yeah, the problem was they didn't say what the expletive was. Like, I when that came out and I saw it, I was like, wow, I really wonder what the expletive is, because this isn't really giving me much gauge on it. Now, this also pointed out something to me that I found to be interesting just about media. If you read the New York Times story, they put all the words in there, right? There wasn't a whole lot of dashes that I recalled, or asterisks or anything like that. When it was time for the F word, they used the F word. When it was time for the P word, they used the P word. And I think that landed, right? Like, actually using the terms, put it out there in such a way that it really landed with readers in a way that Sunday report, when you just say an expletive, I had no idea what they were talking about.
I didn't see Chris Mortensen's television appearances after that report came out. I imagine he discussed some on Countdown, but the report that's on the internet right now that you could see with the timestamp, it was reported as if Gruden was saying, man, I called Goodell an expletive. Did he said this word again? Did he say expletive directly? Oh, there was just so much ambiguity that people didn't want to make logic leaps as to what was said that I think that you're right. Actually seeing and getting clarity, I guess we should have done a better job of asking questions when that detail came out on Mortensen's report, though.
Yeah, but I don't think we would have gotten any answers at that point when it happened. So with ESPN, like I was watching Get Up this morning, and they kind of ran down a litany of the things that had happened. And it was all like ESPN and Disney, like you got standards of what you're going to put on the screen. You got standards for what it is that you're going to say. And John Gruden blew the box on all of them. like by doing things like ESPN did them, they didn't have any way to be like, yo, so how do we explain exactly what he said when we can't use these words here? And the New York Times, I guess this is a post-Trump decision. Once Trump did the grab him by the P word, now they run the P word. So it lands and it hits harder. The Times was then able to give the actual appropriate context, but this defied the standards of decency. That's how bad it was that ESPN's looking around like, we can't even say this stuff. How do we tell people?
But Monty, John Gruden has committed career suicide, right? Or is there any is there any conceivable rehab avenue of contrition open to him?
I don't think so. I just don't think it's possible for him to work in football again. But if you're willing to lay on your sword, people, especially if you're a guy like John Gruden, are going to be inclined to offer you some measure of forgiveness. You saw how bad Tony Dungy wanted to forgive him on Sunday night, right? If you are willing to lay on your sword, and that's before John Gruden had even done such a thing, he ain't going to lay on his sword about this. And if you look at that statement that he put out last night, it was atrocious. It was dreadful. The problem is it will require him to say things about himself that basically, I am a horrible person. And I don't think that he believes that there's any coming back from that. So he's probably not ever going to do it. But that's the only thing that could get him back is full on, I am an awful person and I'm going to go to awful person rehab. And hopefully I can detox all this awfulness. And then I'll come back a brand new man.
Why and how did you receive what you received on Sunday night when you were thinking, I want to hear how this story is covered on NBC, and then they go to Dungy?
The first thing I noticed was not Dungy or Mike Tirico. It was the absence of Drew Brees. Like, if you notice it, like, we do TV, right? We know how TV works. That desk is set up for three people. They change the setup for two, right? They change the marks. Like when you sit down at a TV desk, there's normally a piece of tape that is in front of where it is that you're going to sit. That is your mark. Your belly button is in front of that, right? So that desk is set up for three people. They put down new marks so that Mike Tirico and Tony Dungy could talk about that by themselves, just the two of them. And then they put their capes on. And then after they were done with their capes, they're like, let's go talk to Mike Florio, who then talks about how there's not going to be a punishment that comes down from this. Where was Drew Brees, member of the executive committee of the NFLPA, when this was all going on, right? He has a relevant opinion on this on a number of levels. Drew Brees was nowhere to be found. So then when they had the lightning delay at halftime, they have to fill up all this time. They're running highlights over. Like, it's like when somebody gets knocked out in the first round and they got to kill time because the main event ain't supposed to start for another hour, right? So now they got to come out here, roll out more highlights, and they brought it back to Gruden. And when they brought it back to Gruden, they zoomed in on the camera shot, and it was just Mike Tirico and Tony Dungy. And then when they got done doing the same thing they did before, they tossed it to Mike Florio again, right? They didn't have time to reshuffle the desk this time. They just had to be like, look, we're just not going to have Drew Brees talk about this at all. And that, to me, was as bothersome as what happened when they went to Tony Dungy. It makes sense that you go to Tony Dungy. That's something that you should do in a time like this. I was very curious what it was that Mike Tirico was going to give us, and it was just about what it was that I expected. But Dungy, I just don't. Like, if he says he's not a racist, I have to take his word for it. That standard is not a good one, because there's not a whole lot of people that standing up like, racist? Yeah, that's me. Duh.
Well, Monty, I wish, because I can't say this about many people in America, but I wished upon you that lightning delay and you having to fill that hour on all of that subject matter, because you could have done that off the top of your head. You wouldn't have needed a whole lot of help just to see all the layers of amazing and funny and awful, right? Just sort of societally awful to watch what it is that has happened in the country over the last 4 years. And then seeing Gruden just being the caveman cartoon manifestation of NFL privilege and power.
Yeah, the part that just got me about it, and I've talked about this a lot, is the idea of the benefit of the doubt. And like to me, like, yo, talking about you got lips as big as Michelin tires, that's some time machine racism there. Like what really threw me off, like I remember once, you remember the forward era of email, right? Forward colon, FW, you know, capital F, capital W, colon, right? And people would send these crazy things with like all like the wild conspiracy theories. Like before there was Facebook, there were these email lists and people would send all this stuff out. And I was talking to one of my students, he's a white dude, and I knew the ones that black people sent out. I didn't know that white people were out here doing the same thing because they're not forwarding their crazy emails to us. This stays within the circle. And I would see some of the things that were on there and I was like, oh man, y'all are over there tripping. I did not realize that white folks were still telling big lip jokes. Like that was the thing that got me, is like, have things really changed so little in the ways that some people view us that they're going to such old timey antiquated stuff to still do it? Like y'all still talking about us being ugly? Like, that's the game that y'all are still in. That's where y'all are still caught up. That's what y'all are talking about. And the answer, it seems to be for some people, is yes, they're still in that space. Like racism, as much as we can try to get sophisticated, like, oh, man, it's not about race. It's about class. See what happens when we show up at the swimming pool and you tell me if it's about race or if it's about class, right? Like, we still back in that kind of stuff. And that, again, is why I'm like, where you don't want to believe this about these people. How much more obvious does it have to be that views like these, even if they are not held by the majority in the way that, you know, in the way that Gruden put it, it's up there, man. It's up there. And there's a lot of folks that feel that way. And a lot of them have a significant measure of power. Like when I hear stuff like that about Gruden, that's when I start looking up and being like, huh, I don't think that guy ever had a black quarterback now that I think about it. You know, like you start doing a little bit of two and two on some of this other stuff and you wonder how it affects the way that he's actually done his job. Because the reason he gets fired, to me, you get fired on these things when it makes it impossible for you to do your job. Like, I don't really get into metrics of offensiveness and whether it goes over some line. It comes down to, can you capably do your job? John Gruden couldn't come do another press conference again, so he could not capably do his job. But Riley Cooper, I didn't think he should have been released at the time, because I was like, the locker room's going to decide whether or not he can capably do his job. And for whatever reason, those dudes put up with it and he stuck around long enough to get an extension. And then they got rid of him and he never got another job again because those people did not think that they could bring him in and capably do his job. John Gruden probably could have capably done his job after the Damaris Smith thing because nobody wanted to believe the worst. He probably could have done it. Now, I have no idea where he's going to turn up. He's going to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning watching film, mad as hell. His wife got to hate this. She's going to be stuck with him. He ain't got no team to coach. He's going to start coaching her.
What did you view as most problematic, or not any one thing, but just as you're reading it and you look, you're not necessarily immune, but you've hardened to some of this stuff. But I was still surprised by it. And I'm not gullible about these things. Like, I know that the people on television aren't what they are on television all the time. But this dude was selling us something entirely different than this, Bo.
Yeah, what was problematic is actually, for me, pretty even across the board. Like they all kind of registered about the same. Like, what I thought was a bit surprising was, I don't even know if this counts as surprising. Like, he's really one of those like war on football guys. You know what I mean? And like that seemed to get the biggest ire from him is anything that was opposed to football or anybody questioning, like, you know, football might be injurious to the people who participate in it. And his absolute like dismissal of that. I thought that the way he talked about gay people was really kind of staggering for 20, especially for like 2014 and the years that we're talking about. Like, I was a little stunned by that. But most problematic, without question, is distributing the topless images of the cheerleaders. No question.
And what's going to end up happening there, do you imagine? Like, I don't know the legal...
Oh, with the cheerleaders?
Just all of it. Just, this reaches up. We were talking before you came on, Bomani. Jerry Richardson snuck out a side door. We don't know what the details are there, but man, that happened awfully quietly. That didn't feel like the Sterling thing. Now you got Raiders executives resigning months ago in the front office. Many of them were resigning months ago because they knew something was coming here. The Washington thing doesn't have a paper trail. I don't know what's going to come out there, but once you start getting your tentacles into where the power is on some of this scandal, this league that has end racism in the end zone, this league that just came out a few months ago and said, oh, Mahomes says that we did the wrong thing on Kaepernick. Okay, we're going to switch our minds on this. Like, how high can this reach for, you know, owners who have Goodell in their pocket?
That's a very good question. Now, this is what I wonder in this. We have watched journalism and newsrooms be decimated for the better part of the last, I guess, 20 years would probably be the best time frame that we can use. Like, I was talking to my buddy Joel Anderson at Slate when we were talking about the Bishop Sycamore story. And we're like, how could this happen and people get away with it? And he's like, because they've stripped down coverage of high schools. Like, if you had a robust staff covering high school sports, somebody would have gotten to the bottom of this already, right? Because you just had more people, more familiarity, all of those things. Investigative journalism is a place where the budgets have been slashed. And so the question then becomes, because it's going to really need to have to come from the outside, well, is there a journalistic entity that was going to go to get to the bottom of this? And if there is one that will do it, one that will be enthused to do it, and one that I believe would invest resources that they may not otherwise have invested, it would be the newspaper owned by a billionaire whom we hear maybe, just maybe, would like to buy an NFL team. And, oh, by the way, is one of the two newspapers in America that you do not want to wind up on the business end of. All of that's to say, if I were running the Washington Post, we are on it, baby. On it, on it, on it. And I would be shook if I had any association with that franchise after that.
That seems obvious to me here, Bo, that he's running that newspaper, that Bezos is running that newspaper and wants that team. That's a pretty good one to weaponize. And the Wall Street Journal and New York Times just got into the scoop game in football. Like, if this becomes a fight between the entities that we actually have, what can be revealed, Bo? Like, where... are they going to be able to keep this in hiding? There hasn't been a paper trail. Is Snyder going to be able to keep Bezos away from what Bezos wants?
We are going to find out. I don't know if he will be able to do it. Now, look, it looks like the NFL decided to weaponize this, right? Like, it looks like the NFL was like, okay, John Gruden has to go. Oh, you're not going to put him out. We're going to make you put him out. We did, you know, we started with a drip, then we hit you with a flood, and then you had to get that dude out of there. Who else do they feel that way about? I don't know. Like, who else might get caught in the dragnet? I've heard some rumors of guys whose names might be involved in this, right? I mean, might get caught up in this. I don't know, but I also just don't have a great idea systematically how it is that these things are going to get out. Like, it's one thing to email Mark Davis, like, yo, your coach is tripping. It's hard to email an owner and be like, yo, your owner is tripping.
Sean King threw 49 passes for John Gruden. I'm working to confirm which Sean King we're talking about, because then it could get...
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right, Sean King. That's it. He was there just long enough for John Gruden to be like, nah, dog, nah. Yeah.
Any points that he would have earned for having Tony Dungy's quarterback throw some passes for him, he lost when he had the only black punter leave immediately as soon as he showed up.
He's flashy. The flashy punter.
Bo, it was good catching up with you again. Good spending time with you. Congratulations on the new HBO show. What can you tell people about it that can be known? What's public?
Yeah, we got a new TV show, a late night talk show that is going to air in 2022 called Game Theory, starring me. I actually have no idea what I am allowed to talk about. We haven't had that meeting yet. I will tell you, though, that if you think in the vein of like Daily Show, John Oliver type stuff, but in the direction of sports, that is kind of where we are pointing this right now. The pilot was pretty good, I can tell you that.
I'm looking forward to seeing you shine on this. It's going to be a lot of fun, because I really do believe, Mike, I'm not kidding you. They had an hour. What he's talking about the television mechanics of that, of making the decision, is Drew Brees going to be here? We need an hour to fill. This is a disaster scenario. We've got an hour to fill, and we don't know if
Oh, my Rodney, God, what are you doing?
Jesus Christ,
oh,
Rodney yeah, Harrison. Yeah, yeah.
Shut the audio!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.